Good morning to you, Senator.
Good morning, and thank you very much for those kind words. And, Brad, your 60th year out of the Marine, is that what I heard?
I was in the Corps for a while, but not 60 years.
No.
Not in the Marine Corps. I was in the Marine Corps. Oh, absolutely.
You were in there for 4 years, but it's 60 years of broadcasting, I think, is what it is.
60 years of broadcasting, yeah. You were in the Marine Corps. I didn't know you were in the Marine Corps. You see, you learn things.
You didn't know that.
No.
Oh, yeah. It's not his dress blues or his spit shine shoes.
But thank you for those kind words.
Well, we mean them. It's true.
You're not afraid to go after people that are wrong.
Well, you know, the thing is that if you don't speak up and you don't make noise, and that's why, you know, your show is so important, and the addition of Gary to your show is so important, because he understands the goings on within the Capitol and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Without that message getting out there, a lot of things are done in a vacuum, and that's why your show is so important.
Thank you. I couldn't agree with you more, Senator. That's exactly why I'm here, is to show the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as they say, I mean, there's that old, you know, that old expression of seeing how the sausage is made, and it's not pretty. You know, it tastes good, but it's not pretty watching it. But if we had more transparency, I believe that people would start voting the other way, you know?
I agree with you. I agree with you. So let me just update from something that came through yesterday, which is very interesting. The governor, through the OPM secretary, sent out a letter to virtually just the Democrat leaders with a copy to the rest of at least Republican leaders, a copy to them. And we're going to do a bonding package. The bonding package is where the legislature gets together and decides they're going to bond A, B, and C. And Gary, I know you're familiar with that.
Yep.
What Senator Lute had indicated was that they're going to do pots of money. So in other words, they're not going to say, we're giving a list of bonding for, you know, the firehouse in North Haven or the police station in Windsor or whatever it is. We're just going to say, for small towns, here's X number of hundreds of millions or whatever the number is. For cities, here's Y, and maybe some other pot, here's a number, without identifying the projects, which will be the first time that's ever done. And I think it's bad precedent, because it's not identifying what the legislature is saying okay to, but a number.
Who came up with this idea?
You know, it's a good question. I heard Senator Looney talk about it. I don't know where it's coming from or how it's developing. I believe it to be true, for what I'm indicating my sources in the Capitol are telling me, because obviously Democrats don't talk to us when they want to give away money. So I don't know where it's coming from, but I understand it to be true. But the governor sent out a very interesting email, and the email said, look, I have a bonding debt diet. I want it to be $1 billion, just under $1 billion. You are doing $1.3 billion. That's too much money.
Mm-hmm.
You need to cut back on that. No, by the way, I want you to put in $100 million for the next 2 years for transportation, because we need that since we didn't get tolls, we need that for transportation. A couple of things I would note. Number one, Republicans had $750 million in there for transportation, so we were funding it a lot bit more than they were. Number two is the fact that the governor is recognizing they're overbonding, and that is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So the governor is putting sort of a shot across their bow, don't do this. Now, he didn't use the word veto, which I'm going to encourage him to use, but he should say, look, if you're going to bond that much and we're on that diet because we can't afford it, I'll veto the package if it comes. But it's an interesting dynamic that there seems to be an awful lot of friction yet again between the governor and the Democrats, who just want to spend as much money as possible. And by the way, this pots of money is a way to buy votes. If you don't identify a project, I want your vote, I can say, hey, listen, what do you need in your district? Well, I need a firehouse. Okay, you got it. You don't have to go through the rigors of getting it approved by the legislature, because we're not doing projects. We just did slush fund.
It's very similar to a. It's very similar to a block grant, is it not?
Exactly. It's kind of like what we do at UConn, if you would.
Right.
It
exactly.
It's a block grant to say, here's a whole bunch of money, and leaders in the governor. By the way, I would argue that this gives the governor unbelievable power, because even if you authorize it by the legislature, it's kind of complicated. It is the governor who doles out the dough. So the governor's got control over all of this money to determine where it's going to go. That's a lot of power in the executive branch and maybe the leadership, second Democratic leadership.
Listen, bonding, what people don't understand, borrowing, this is borrowing. This is money that's got to be paid back. It adds to our deficit here in the state. And so people need to know that first and foremost, and to just willingly give out $1 billion, so to speak, on projects that the taxpayer and the legislature it has no idea what its purpose is. That's pretty dangerous, is it not, Senator?
So the bottom line is that these guys are going to bond large pots of money.
Yes.
It looks like they're going to go over the governor's quote-unquote debt diet. This is going to happen on the 22nd as it plays out. And, the Republicans are saying we shouldn't do pots of money, and we should do the debt diet that the governor is saying and cut down our expenses.
What is the relationship like right now between the Democrat leadership in the House and Senate and the governor? And I know they're all Democrats, but there is some friction. You spoke about it a few moments ago. Can you go into a little bit more detail with that?
I think there's a real lack of legislative communication across the board in the executive branch of governor's office with not only Democrats, or not only Republicans and Democrats. I don't think there's a lot of conversation. There's minimal amount. And I saw that all session long. And I think that to a large extent it played towards the Democrats legislatively pushing their agenda by sort of the governor not taking a stand and not putting markers or boundaries down. The Democrats said, okay, we're going to do whatever we want to do and just push it through. The governor is backing down on everything. So we're just going to do what we want to do. And that's exactly what happened this session.
Mm.
The only folks who put bumps in the road and to stop them were Republicans in the House and Republicans in the Senate. By using various tools, we were able to stop a whole bunch of stuff at the committee level and in the chamber. But as far as this governor is concerned, I would suggest that they're being the Democrats, are ignoring his total existence. And I don't think there's been any real communication between the executive and legislative branch, but for certain exceptions.
Well, this is wrong. We all know it's wrong. He is the governor, whether you like it or not. He was elected by the people. He is the governor. Shouldn't he be the one that makes the final call?
I do agree with that, but he has to assert himself, and he's not asserting himself. I mean, for better or for worse, Governor Malloy would go out there and say, if you do this, I'm vetoing it, and I don't like this, with attack in the press. This governor just sits back, and there comes a time and a tsunami of support for particular policies make its way into the Capitol, and he is powerless to stop it. He has to stop it in the legislative office building at the committee level. And his group was totally absent. Now, maybe it's rookieism, if you would.
Yeah.
Maybe it's lack of understanding the building, which I do get.
Yeah.
But even on this bonding package, the letter was not written very strong. It was, listen, we don't think you should be doing this. That would be something, we would say. The governor should say, don't do this. And if you do this, I'm going to veto it.
Well, you hit the nail.
The governor.
You hit the nail on the head when you said it could it be rookieism. You keep in mind that Dan Malloy, was in politics. He was an elected official even prior to being elected governor as mayor of Stamford, where Governor Lamont really has no political background. And you're right. He's only, 7 months into this position. Am I defending him? No, but I'm just calling facts out. Perhaps he's trying to make nice with everybody. He wants everybody to like him so quickly that it's preventing him from asserting himself on controversial topics. He wants to be nice or workable with everybody. Would you say there's some truth to that? Or
I think that there was the ability of him saying, I want to bring everybody in a room and talk. The only thing is, in that building, things move pretty fast when the session begins. There's timelines, there's deadlines, you can't wait. He wants to have sort of like a business board meeting, let's get everyone together and talk out things. There's just not that type of time. So you have to say, okay, we can talk about them, but let me tell you what the parameters are. And here are the parameters for which I'll work. This is the lane that you have to work on this policy or legislation. And he doesn't set any boundaries. And by the time the legislation is baked in the LOB, the legislative office building in committees, there's a understanding of who's supporting what. You support my bill and I'll support this one. And it comes out with a certain amount of support and inertia. And then if he doesn't like it, he's just getting steamrolled. And we saw that. You said paid family leave. If you do not privatize paid family leave, well, you know what? I am not going to support that bill. Well, they didn't privatize it. And he backed down. And once they saw that he's afraid to say the word veto, they're just going to steamroll him because they don't think he has the courage to use the words veto. And I think that is a significant problem. That's his tool.
Do you foresee him changing, though?
Pardon?
Do you foresee him changing at some point and being more adaptable?
I hope so, but I don't know. And the reason why I say that is he's heard a lot of you got steamrolled and they ran over you, both in the press and legislators, and now we're at the bonding. And it just seems like the words he should be using is not pleading his case, but taking a stand. Those are two different things.
Yeah.
And I see a letter that pleads the case as opposed to a letter that says, I'm taking a stand. You're the governor. You don't have to plead anything. And, you know, Brad, you're right. He was elected by the people to represent the people. Well, then he needs to stand up for those principles and say, we are going to reduce fixed costs. I'm not going to have this bonding out there. And if you do that, I'm going to veto it. So think twice before you pass this. And as you know, Gary, there are folks out there who may want to vote for it or vote against it. And if you vote against it, they'll use the fact that it's going to be vetoed as a way to tell their leadership, how can I vote for bonding package at 1.3 that this governor is going to veto?
When you don't know what you're
going to become law.
Yeah, because you don't know what you're voting for. You don't know where those dollars in each municipality is going to be, how it's going to be utilized.
And they were looking for cover, maybe. And the governor can provide them that cover. But not understanding that nuance of the building leaves them vulnerable to be taken advantage of. And I would argue that's where we are.
Well, again, this is something that is going to really hurt him if he doesn't say, look, I was elected. You might not like it, but I was elected. And as long as I am here, there are things that I want to do, and that's why I won. Period. That's what he should do.
I agree. And he needs to say quite that forceful. And use the word veto. I say he's afraid. He says, but he's afraid to say the actual word veto. And I think he can't be afraid to use that power. And look, if he's going to bond that much, particularly for pots of money, the Republicans are going to support his veto, so they're not going to be able to override it. So he has comfort that we're going to be there for him. And that's using the powers in the building. And when he doesn't, he leaves himself very vulnerable. And so we'll see how this thing plays out. It's for the 22nd. We'll be sending some sort of letter out today or tomorrow, encouraging the governor to stick to his stand. And if he's going to veto it, we're with him, because we believe that's too much bonding and not a proper way to bond. So we're going to send that out. We'll see what the reaction is and we'll go from there. But this is going to play out on the 22nd.
He almost seems afraid. He seems afraid of the leadership in the legislative branch of his own party.
Yeah, you know, if any time you get to pick a fight, and stake your ground. It's in the first year of your four-year term. You know, as you get closer to re-election, should he decide to run, he probably doesn't want to get too many people at the Democratic leadership upset with him because he's going to need their help to win the next election. You take a stand now, pick a fight now. You got 3 years to repair any damage that might have been caused by you being a tough guy. But if you wait, they're just going to take more and more advantage of you. And at this point, you become an irrelevant figure. And the Democratic leadership says, we're just going to do what we want to do. This guy's not going to stand in our way. We're going to run through him like a wet paper towel. So the heck with him. We don't care what he thinks. And that's where I think the end of session became. We're just doing what we want to do. And that's dangerous because that's a runaway train for Democrats who are trying to appease the far left. And that's why you have a lot of these bills that I think are going to hurt the state of Connecticut and its economy.
I couldn't agree more, and very, very well stated. Senate Minority Leader Len Fasano, we appreciate your call so much every week in educating, really, and I use that word, educating the Connecticut public. It's our tax dollars, ladies and gentlemen, ours. Thank you again, Senator.